may be seated. Yeah, love it. Love God. I want to be more like Him, right? I want to be more like Him. Lord, just take me, teach me, let me be more like You, transform me. And that's part of today's message, is transforming. We saw that little video at the beginning, the Transformer toy. I remember my boys maybe had a few of those when they were younger. And it was sort of cool, but there's one thing that's sort of not quite right on that one. This toy transformed from a car into a robot and then back into a car again. When we're transformed, do we go back? No. It's a one-way street, right? I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, right? So, Lord, we ask that You would transform us by Your power, through Your word, and however else You want to do it, Lord. We want to be more like You. We want to follow faithfully. We want to love others, to serve others, to treat others right. So just correct what is wrong in us, Lord, to make us more like You. Let's start with the readings.
Our first reading is from the book of Romans, chapter 12, verse 2. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. Our second reading is from the book of Ephesians, chapter 4, beginning with verse 17. So I tell you this, and insist on it in the Lord, that you must no longer live as the Gentiles do in the futility of their thinking. They are darkened in their understanding and separated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardening of their hearts. Having lost all sensitivity, they have given themselves over to sensuality so as to indulge in every kind of impurity, and they are full of greed. That, however, is not the way of life you learned when you heard about Christ and were taught in Him in accordance with the truth that is in Jesus. You were taught, with regard to your former way of life, to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitudes of your minds, and to put on the new self, created to be like God, in true righteousness and holiness. Here ends the second lesson.
Please stand if you're able for the reading of the gospel. Today's gospel is found in John 15, verses 18 through 21. If the world hates you, keep in mind that it hated me first. If you belong to the world, it would love you as its own. As it is, you do not belong to the world. But I have chosen you out of the world. That is why the world hates you. Remember what I told you. A servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they obeyed my teaching, they obey yours also. They will treat you this way because of my name, for they do not know the one who sent me. Here ends the reading. You may be seated. Any kids are free to leave for kids' church here. If you want to go learn some things and have some fun activities, you go right ahead. There you go. There's already other kids out there waiting. Good idea. Lord, thank you for children, and we thank you that we have the right to be your children if we receive and believe, that you just take us in and care for us in every way. Lord, again, we want to be changed to be more like you. So let us open ourselves up. Let us reject our old stubborn ways and seek to be more like you. Amen. Again, continuing through Romans 12 here, one verse at a time is what we're doing. Last week, we learned about being a living sacrifice. Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. And it's right to offer our lives up as an offering, as a sacrifice, that He can use us as He sees fit. And it is indeed an act of worship. Today, learn about conforming, or better yet, not conforming. I like that better, right? do not be conformed to the ways of this world. Yes, we get to be nonconformists. This is great. It's a good thing, especially when you look at the world today. We should not conform to the pattern of this world, for sure. But people are taught to conform from the youngest age on up. Alrighty? As a parent, you're raising kids, you're teaching them to conform to social norms. Absolutely. Society works better when people can all have an agreed upon system and play their roles. Elementary. Do you teach them to conform there? Marlene's nodding her head. Yes, she spent a whole career doing that. Okay, in elementary school, you teach kids to conform. Indeed, all throughout school. To stand in line, to follow the rules, to have good manners. And hey, those things are great. We need that. To learn your letters and numbers, the same ones that everybody else uses, right? Because if you want to make your X a Z or something like that, it's going to get confusing. Okay. So we learn the same way everybody else does. You're also encouraged to color within the lines, right? Some of us struggle with that, okay? And maybe it's some of the nonconformists in us or else just who knows what. But yeah, to stay in the lines, again, to conform. And again, as a result, society can function better because everybody in that culture has a grounding in the expectations and the norms. Is it different in another culture? Absolutely. If you travel internationally, you're going to find out that you're going to act differently. And they're acting in a whole different way, which is normal to them. And that's okay, all right? They've got their norms, we've got ours. Alrighty? In the military, we learned a little bit about conforming, didn't we, Dave? Yeah, did the friendly drill sergeants encourage you to conform?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. A lot of friendly encouragement to conform, the same way in the Navy, I'm sure, right? Okay. Yeah, absolutely. And with that discipline, the military can function better because everybody has the same expectations. They know how to play the roles. If someone transfers out of one battalion into another, they're going to come in there, they're going to know the same exact things as everybody else. It's like taking a piece off a puzzle here and putting it in here, it fits exactly. It makes it run a lot better if everybody knows the same battle drills, everybody knows how to clean their weapon, everything like that. They have the same expectations, all right? So it creates a more effective unit as a result as well. So conforming is good as long as people are doing the right thing. If they're doing the wrong thing, you don't want to conform to those ways. Alrighty, you may remember your mother when you were growing up saying, if all your friends jumped off a cliff, would you, right? Okay, if they're doing the wrong thing, we should not be following. Bad company corrupts good character, tells us in the Bible. So absolutely. So just because they're jumping off a cliff, well, I remember one time I was down in the Caribbean on exercises with the guard there, and there was a 50-foot cliff going into the ocean. And all the Dutch Marines were jumping off the cliff. And I couldn't let the Marines show me up, okay? So I jumped off the cliff too. So I literally have jumped off a cliff just because everybody else was. But yeah, we have to be careful what we're doing. So we shouldn't always be conforming, especially if they're headed down the wrong road. Now, if you're surrounded with people that are living for Christ, that are doing the right things, absolutely conform to them, right? Encourage each other, build each other up. But if people are doing other things, we have to be careful. And that's when we get to be a nonconformist. Now, if you pull up a mental image of nonconformist, or if you were to type it into Google Image, I didn't do that this week. That would be interesting, a nonconformist. What are you going to see? Someone that's different, very obviously different. Now, we can be different in the way we think. We can be different in the way we live, the way we dress. There's all kinds of ways that we can be different. We can express our individuality, and hey, we're all created different. So, hey, that's cool. Alrighty? So being a nonconformist, and that's what Paul writes about today. Don't conform to the ways of this world. Instead, be like Jesus. And by doing so, you will be a nonconformist. Was he radical? Yeah. Was he a nonconformist? In many ways, yes. Now, he did observe the Jewish rites. He was a very faithful Jew, so he did that. But he did a lot of other things. Where the Jewish men couldn't associate with women, he did. Where the Jews could not associate with people of other cultures and things like that, he did. Canaanite woman, Samaritan woman. People could not associate with the lepers, he did. Not only got close to them, but actually laid hands on them. Wow. He is very, very different in a lot of ways. That's a good thing. And again, we have to be like him. We have to engage with other people that are of different beliefs or different cultures or different lifestyles. Absolutely, engage with them. We want to lead them to truth. Come alongside them. Build relationships. Love them. Show them love. If they reject it, that's up to them. I guess everybody has, you know, the right to do so. We have free will. But we should definitely follow Jesus' example in that. 100%. Love others. Love others. That doesn't mean always approving of what they're doing. But you do show them love. We do our part. So important as Christians. And again, by doing so, we're doing what Jesus did. Okay? We're not put off by this. We're willing to engage. We're willing to step in. We're willing to be there for them and to be there with them, just like we would with a fellow believer. A lot of people need love. We all need to be loved. And we have that chance to let God love through us by doing so. Conforming is often the easy way out. If everybody else is doing something, it's easy to do the same thing. Again, we're sort of patterned that way, and you see it in junior high all the time. But again, we're not called to be conformed to the ways of this world. We're called to be non-conformed, to be different. We're called to be different. In a way, to sort of be weird, okay? And I'm okay with that. If people want to think I'm weird, they can. I'm going to just follow Christ, okay? I'm going to follow God. And whatever people think of me, that's all right. I'm not concerned about what they think. I'm more concerned about what God says. That's much, much higher on my priority list. What other people think, whatever. What God says, yes. That is what I seek to follow. So we will appear different sometimes. But if we're standing up for Christ, that's a good thing. I remember Pastor Becky preaching on this years ago. Love her preaching. I could just sit all day and listen to that, into the night, into the next day. It was a beautiful thing. And she was saying, yes, we will seem weird to the world. But she said, my concern is that we're not weird enough. That we're still partially conformed, right? In some ways that we shouldn't be. We should be even more weird, perhaps. So yeah, something to think about for sure. Am I weird enough? Boy, yeah, I could take that places. I could come up with all kinds of ways to appear weird and not conform. But again, we're following God. That's the main thing here. Alrighty. So we are called not to conform, not to conform, but to be transformed. To be transformed. That second song we sang today, I am not the same. I'm a new creation, right? Adopted, healed, and lifted. There's a change that has taken place. That comes from 2 Corinthians 5:17. I'm a new creation in Christ. The old is gone, the new has come. We have been changed. And again, we're not going to transform back. It's a one-way street for us. We've been changed to be more like Him, and we continue to become more like Him as we progress in our Christian lives. We start out starting a little bit, okay, and now we're giving more, and pretty soon we're giving our all, and we become more and more like Him. How do we do this? We just sort of sign a piece of paper, now I'm a Christian? Doesn't quite work that way, does it? We have to make ourselves available. We have to give ourselves. We have to receive and then believe, as it says in John chapter 1. And then we have the right to become children of God. So to receive and believe. And when we receive Him, He's going to start rearranging the furniture. And we have to let Him. Some of us might be resistant to that. We might start to put up a little fight at that point. Yeah, okay, God, you can come into my house, but don't start rearranging the furniture. I like it just the way it is. But there is a better way. Is His way better? Is His way always better? Amen. Yes. Okay. So we have to be willing to release things. We have to be willing to give Him permission to rearrange things inside our house, inside this body, this temple of the Holy Spirit. And He's going to arrange them to be more like Him. He's going to do that. We are going to be transformed again. Not conformed, but transformed. Again, there's a forming taking place there. How? By the renewing of your mind. That's what it says in the scripture here today, right? Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world. Yes. Follow God instead. But be transformed. How? By the renewing of your mind. Mind's going to be renewed. Once your mind is renewed, your perspective is renewed, your outlook is renewed, and your life will be renewed as well. Because you're going to have a new way of thinking and a new way of living. It's going to show. Those around you are going to see it, they're going to know it. Or if it's already happened for you, someone noticed that you're no longer doing the old things. You're now living for a new purpose, a higher purpose, a calling that each of us is given. Changed from the inside out. And that's the only way it can happen. You can try to change someone from the outside in. You can keep on telling them, keep on whatever. Alrighty, unless they want to change, probably not going to happen. All right, trying to change someone else, that's tough. You can create the right conditions. But if they don't buy into it or want to change, the success rates can be very low. Think of a person entering, say, treatment for drug addiction. They can be court-ordered. You are going to go to treatment for 90 days. They go there grudgingly, okay, I'm going to jump through the hoops so I can get out of here. Are they usually changed? Maybe some are. Maybe while they're in there, they see the truth. Others, if they don't have that right mindset, they're not going to be changed. Whereas someone who is open to change, someone who wants to change, I realize I have a problem. I need help. I'm going to seek help. If they get into a treatment program, and hopefully a Christian-based one, then great things can happen. There can be a genuine change. The old is gone, the new has come. They have a new life, and they have a new chance at life, and they're going to live it then for the right things. Once the yuck is cleaned out, once that furniture is rearranged and they're determined not to turn back, great things can happen. So changing the way you think is going to change the way you live. You'll see things in a different light. You'll see things in a different way. They're going to be the same situations, but you're going to have a new perspective on them. You're going to see them in a whole different way. The things that used to attract you no longer will. Like you used this example, I don't know, a year or two ago, that we're sort of remagnetized. A magnet will be attracted to something. But if you're remagnetized the other way, instead of being attracted, you'll be repelled. Those old things that used to attract us, we now find repulsive. God exposes them for what they are. Sin should be repulsive to us, but yet it has this allure. It just starts to call us back in. But once we've been transformed and God is with us, we are better able to resist that and can indeed be repelled by it once we know what it is. Alrighty. This whole thing of not conforming, being a nonconformist, not caring what others think. I think it gets easier with age, doesn't it? The older you get, whatever. Okay, again, using the example of early years in elementary and then especially in junior high where it perhaps peaks, they're so concerned about what others think. Again, I'm more concerned about what God says than what others think. And as they get older, I care less about what other people think. Okay, But do I care what God thinks? Yes. Okay, there's my primary directive right there, to follow what God thinks and what He says through His Word. This is what I seek to follow. Not what other people think, but what God says. You got any questions about what God says? Right here. There's your answer. Alrighty. So seek to follow that and to lead others into it and encourage them in it as well. We're not in junior high anymore, okay? We're not going to worry about what other people think. So this transformation is going to change us in some ways, and that's where the verse ended here. Once we've been transformed, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is. His good, pleasing, and perfect will. Test and approve, or we could translate it to be able to discern, to recognize what God's will is, and then to do it. To recognize His will for you, and then to do it. Once our mind's been transformed, we'll be able to do that. We'll better be able to recognize God's will. Because these other things that used to call to us and saying that they're true, you're not going to have that power over us anymore. We have been changed. We have been transformed. Now we're going to recognize God's will, His voice, His calling in our life, and seek to follow it, to make ourselves available. This is how we should live. His good, pleasing, and perfect will, as it says. His will is good. It's pleasing, and it is indeed perfect. I can't argue with that, okay? His ways are higher. His ways are better. Alrighty. So we've been transformed from these old ways, and Paul talks about that in Ephesians as well, how we are transformed from our old way of thinking. In Ephesians 4 today, we had heard, you must no longer live as the Gentiles do. These people are surrounded by the Gentiles with some very different beliefs and things like that. Many of them are polytheistic or following other things. That were not of God. They had many different gods, many different religions. But this is the one true one, right? don't longer live as the Gentiles do in the futility of their thinking. I had to circle that word futility. Those ways are futile. They don't lead to life. They don't lead to life. It's futile. And their thinking is futile, so it's not going to lead anywhere. They are darkened in their understanding, Paul writes, and separated from the life of God. Darkened in their understanding and thinking. They're not seeing things the way we are. We hope that they will. We'll do what we can to lead them into the light, to lead them into truth. But they are separated from the life of God. To be separated from God, you're not going to be hearing from them. And that's not good, to be separated from God, just the thought of that. You want to be close to God, as close as possible, right? I want to be so close that I can't tell where I end and he starts, just to be totally merged. But to be separated from God, even by a little is not good, but by even more, that's bad news. So no wonder they're darkened in their understanding. They're separated from the life of God because of ignorance that is in them due to the hardening of their hearts. The hardening of their hearts leads to ignorance. I do know some people that are really skeptical about Christianity. I think we're just following some sort of cult or something like that. And I'm patient with them. I keep on trying to live the truth and show the truth and be understanding and listen to them to build a relationship. And I'm hoping that one day the Holy Spirit will stir inside them and they'll see that light. And they'll realize that there's peace and that there's life eternal. And all kinds of good things will follow. We all have that opportunity. There's people around us that thinks Christians is just an old book that a lot of people, you know, believe in. And yes, I do believe in it. And yes, it is an old book, and it is still relevant today and always will be. We again have that opportunity to reach out to these people, to love them, to show them by the way we live, but show them by the way we treat them what a Christian can experience. These people have lost all sensitivity. They have given themselves over to sensuality, to indulge in every kind of impurity with a continual lust for more. That's no way to live. That's no way to live. And that does not lead to good things. Indeed, he follows up, you, however, did not come to know Christ that way. We may have been that way at once. A lot of us walked in other ways until we realized the truth and we were transformed. Those ways lead to death. Surely you heard of him and were taught in him. Yes, we were taught in him. You were taught by your parents. You were taught by Sunday school teachers. You were taught by friends and neighbors. You were taught by other believers. That's how we got here, or a big part of it. Maybe it was the work of God within you too, and that would be right. But now it's our turn. Are we now the adults, many of us? Are we now seeking to lead others, to teach others, to show them the right way, to guide them into truth? Absolutely. We have that responsibility. There are people in your lives that did that for you. You can think back on them and thank God for them, that they helped to guide you in the right way. Now we have that opportunity to guide others in the right way, to raise up a child in the way they should go, to encourage others in their faith, to build them up in their faith, to teach them in accordance with the truth, as he says here, the truth that is in Jesus. He is the way, the truth, and the life. You're taught to put off your old self, but it's deceitful desires. That's now the past, right? I am no longer the same. I am not the same. I'm a new creation. To be made new in the attitude of your minds. I underline new and attitude. To have a new attitude. Again, having that new attitude, you have a new outlook, a new perspective. You see things a different way. It's a beautiful thing. We're not the same. And to be put on the new self. Created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. To put on that new self, to be that new person, to have that new identity in Christ. That's what God offers. No matter what you've done, no matter who you are, he's willing to offer it to you, to hold it out to you. Here it is. And if we stray, again, waiting with arms wide open to welcome us back. All right, great news, transformation, a new way of life, a new way of thinking. It's a beautiful thing. But it's not always a bed of roses. Will not always be accepted. And that's what we're going to end with in the gospel today. From John wrote here. Sometimes others aren't going to, I'll respect that, like it, accept it, that we've been changed. I've got a friend that was an alcoholic for many years. He hung out at the bar, everybody knew him, everything like that, small town, of course. Then he found Christ, changed him around 100%. And the people that used to greet him all the time don't always talk to him so much anymore. Because he is new, he's different, he's no longer that person, which is a great thing, of course. But he finds himself rejected at times. And this is Jesus' word today too, right? If you obey my commands, you'll... I got to get to the right place. Here we go. If the world hates you, keep in mind that it hated me first. We're being like Jesus. If we're being rejected at times, we're experiencing what Jesus did. He was rejected. You got to remember who is rejecting him, though. All right. As it is, you do not belong to the world, but I have chosen you out of the world. That is why the world hates you, because we now belong to him, right? Remember the words I spoke to you. If they persecuted me, they will persecute you also. So if we're being rejected or persecuted for being a Christian, keep on, all right? Doing the right thing, keep on loving others. You're not always going to be accepted, but always try to do the right thing. Do not repay evil with evil, but overcome evil with good. Someone insults you, whatever puts you down, just keep on living as a Christian. Show them the way that we are, right? If they persecuted me, they'll also persecute you. He suffered persecution. He suffered death for his beliefs. Many martyrs have as well. Many people around the globe are right now imprisoned or dying for their faith in Jesus. Pray for them. Be there with them in the spirit. Whatever you can do to uplift them. All right. So they treated Jesus this way. He said, they will treat you this way because of my name. Because we are Christians. That's our name. We are now Christians. We are of Christ. We are followers of Christ. And if I'm rejected or insulted for that, I'm okay with that. Because I'm going to stand firm in my beliefs. Why do they do this? For they do not know the one who sent me. They don't know God. I pray that they will. They will come to know him. So Lord, for those that are out there that don't know you, that reject you, we pray that they would just have a life-changing encounter somehow, however you want to set it up, Lord, that they could become children of God as well, that they could know peace, that they could know blessing, that they could have assurance in this life and beyond. Those people are hurting, Lord. They're hurting, and they need healing. You came to seek and save the lost, you still do. We pray that they would see how good you are and turn to you. In Jesus' name, amen.